My name is Mukhtar Thakur. I'm about 55 years old, give or take a year or so. I was born in and grew up in the country of Tanzania, East Africa, and for the last 23 years I've been living in Minnesota. I'm a civil engineer by profession. That's what I do. And I'm very active in community activities, doing lots of community activities, including a TV program, a radio program, as well as other community activities. My ethnic heritage is I'm an Indian. My parents were born in India. They moved to East Africa way back in the 1930s, and they were pioneers in their time. I did not spend any time of my time in India at all. In fact, we have an ancestral home, and my mom is still living in the ancestral home. It's in a rural area of Maharashtra, India, and that's where we hail from. I went from East Africa to the UK for further studies. I studied in the University of Wales. I did my civil engineering there. And I was very happy and was very set in many ways in living in London. And I got a job in Saudi Arabia. I was working on oil field construction contracts. And I did two and a half, three-year stint. And I was very, very happy with that effort. And it came time to get married, and I found a girl to get married to was from Chicago, and she was a pharmacist, and the British Board of Pharmacy would not reciprocate her pharmacy, American qualification pharmacy in Britain. So I decided to move to the U.S. because I knew that my English civil engineering qualifications would be reciprocatable here and would get professional status. That was way back in 1986 or 87. I happened to meet with her because she was visiting her uncles and aunts who were living in London at the time. She was also an Asian Indian who was born in East Africa but had emigrated to the U.S. rather than the U.K. I came here and in 1986 I arrived in Chicago at my wife's home, and from there I applied to all the state DOTs for a job. And lo and behold, one of the first state DOTs that offered me a job that I could find acceptable was the Minnesota Department of Transportation. So that's where I came. And I didn't know any soul in Minnesota. And I came here and started the job in July of 1987. At that time, I was young. And I had the whole world in front of me. And nothing was a challenge. And it was just a very interesting to learn about Minnesota and the people and the culture and everything else. And I had been to the UK from East Africa. I had been to Saudi Arabia from East Africa. So it was not like any supreme challenge. It was like, this is the way life is. You reach the end of the road in a country and you find a new place and you make your bread and you earn your living and you move on.
Do you expect that you'll stay in Minnesota?
At this moment in time, I certainly plan to. I don't think that I do want to do anything else. When I retire from my work and my life, at that point I'll have to decide whether I want to live in a cold and wintry Minnesota. But I'm sure that's nothing different than most other snowbird Minnesotans in town.
So when you were growing up in East Africa, was your Muslim faith an important part of your upbringing?
Yes, it was very clearly an important part of my upbringing. I mean, there were, just like here, there are many, many different sects and different versions of Islamic thought in there, the Shias, the Shiis, the Ismailis, and others, and the Sunnis, and I belong to the Sunni sect, and we had our own mosques and our own places of worship, and we had our own, and it was very clearly a strong part of my family and upbringing. We tried to instill upon amongst all of us in the family that, one, learning our own Indian languages, which is Hindustani, and was very important. And we shared that. We learned the Quran. We shared that. We went to classical Arabic schools to learn Arabic as well and to learn how to read the Quran. And that was very clearly what we did do at that point. And and that helped in trying to establish a continuity with that particular particular religion and cultural connectivity. We also, you know, enjoyed all the holidays that they provided. We, mind you, we also enjoyed all the Christian holidays. The Christmas was also shared and supported by the whole of the community in East Africa, as were some of the African Independence Days and all those kinds of things. The diversity that I found in my youth as well as in the UK was simply astonishing. I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I was growing up in East Africa, I was in a very closed and very Indian environment. You know, we basically stuck to ourselves. But when I went to the UK, as well as later on as I grew up in East Africa, we had to interact with people from the Middle East, we had to interact with people from the African subcontinent itself, who were the natives, as well as Europeans who were there as settlers in East Africa. So we had a very multicultural upbringing, and as I grew up particularly through senior high school, it was a very, very multicultural group that I grew up with. And we shared a lot of very interesting observations. When I first came to Minnesota in 1987, I was struck by one remarkable thing. I thought that the Scandinavian culture that exists here, even today, is quite honestly some of the best cultural experiences for the good of the people, of all the people. This concept of the extended village is very, very prevalent in that, you know, in that culture. And that is a very, very nice way to kind of think about everybody and make sure that everyone feels accommodated and is given a fair share of the public good, whatever that might be, roads, highways, schools, universities, and everything else. So that everyone feels that they have an opportunity to do what they would like to do. I'm very, very impressed by what Minnesotans have achieved over the last so many years. Given the fact that they are mainly from the Scandinavian German cultures, and they have managed to live together, and they are now accommodating a vast variety of diverse communities and immigrants over the last 20 years, I have seen Minnesotans, certainly in the metro area, grown up to a huge diversity of peoples from different cultures and communities, and they have been accommodated. Yes, there is a South Asian community, and I see myself as a part of that, and through the radio program as well as the two TV programs that I produce, I share what I can in order to connect with that community as well as expose that community to the rest of the broader community here. So, you know, I'm very clearly connected to the community. I will always be an Indian, Asian, and I don't see that, it's going to be very easy for me, at least. My children might be different matter altogether, but for me to be thinking in different terms is exceptionally difficult. I have two TV programs. One is Geetmala. Geetmala is essentially a necklace of pearls. And it is a music-based entertainment program, which is basically exposing the Asian, Indian, or South Asian music and cultures and dances to the broader community here, as well as sharing it amongst the community of Asian, South Asians here. The other one is Diversity in Focus. Diversity in Focus aims to bring your new immigrant neighbors into your living room. So what we do is we have a lot of new immigrants living all over the metro area, and people are wondering, what is my neighbor doing, you know? And so if he's a doctor, we'll invite them and we'll ask them to talk about what they do. If it's a dentist, we'll ask them to talk about that. If it is somebody who's a professor, they'll come back. We'll come back and invite them and talk about professor. If they're an economist in the community, we'll come them and ask them to talk about economy and what their perceptions are. Just so that the broader community can get to see who these people are that are living amongst themselves, amongst them. The goal of them is better understanding of peoples. It's not rocket science. You know?
Can you recall any challenges when you moved to this part of the world?
Yes, I did not think that the winters here were as bad as they are. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I never even imagined what minus 20 degrees Fahrenheit would feel like. And when I did find out that in the first year wasn't too bad, or the second year. And there was one year when we had minus 20 for like 10 or 15 days in a row. I mean, that it came home to me pretty fast. It's pretty cold.
So what do you do to contend with that?
Well, you know, I try and stay in and wear thermals like I never have worn before.
So you're not a fan of ice skating or sledding or...
Anything to do with winter sports, I'm way out of it. I'm far end of the spectrum there.
So you just hibernate and wait for spring to come.
Spring to come. That's about it.
Okay.
My hobbies are the radio program and the TV program and community activism. Those are the kind of three things that I try and do as much as I possibly can. I don't do fishing. I don't do hunting. I don't do golf, and neither do I do football. And I certainly don't do winter sports.
I'd like to talk about your faith a little bit more. Do you feel like Minnesota has been welcoming to Muslims in general?
You know, I haven't had anything but good experiences. I mean, that's probably a little bit due to the fact that while the broader community doesn't know Islam here, they are at least open to learning and understanding about it through the aspects of what, for example, IRG is doing, you know. So, you know, a lot of people are open about that. So I don't anticipate that there is any worries from that perspective. There are times when I certainly feel somewhat interestingly concerned about the way the media might be portraying the religion. But media is the media, and they will do what they think that they need to do in order to do whatever they need to do it for. And I've come to that conclusion, and I'm quite happy with that conclusion. And I also understand and note that, you know, throughout history in Minnesota, also as in the United States, the Japanese were pilloried at one time, the Irish were pilloried at one time, the Jews were pilloried at one time. You know, but these things have come to pass, and these communities are now part of the vibrant Minnesota communities, and I think now is the time for the Muslims to be feeling the pressure, and pretty soon that will pass and they will become part of the vibrant Minnesota community too.
So what do you yourself do to sort of move that process forward?
About the only thing that I can see that I do dramatically, you know, is not dramatically, but certainly in order to support the work that IRG does. You know, in my doing what I do, I just do things that I enjoy, and you just let people decide for themselves. You know, here's a Muslim person who is doing what he enjoys and who's trying to contribute to the best of his ability to the well-being of the community as a whole. You know, that's all I can do. I'm very glad and honored to have contributed towards being the project director for the Hiawatha Light Rail Transit Line. And that was a very, very large project that had a lot of, and has had a lot of impact on the neighborhoods of South Minneapolis and Wilmington and the airport. As a pre-construction director for the Hiawatha Light Rail Transit, I was responsible for making sure that all the pre-construction work that needed to be done, the NEPA work, the National Environmental Protection Agency Act, all the funding necessary was secured, all the construction contracts were properly written up and bid, and all the communities along the line were satisfied, at least, if not overly exhilarated with what they were getting. And the stations were in the locations that the communities wanted. It was basically a massive community planning exercise and community involvement exercise to make sure that we were willing and very excited partners in trying to make sure that when the light rail came to the neighborhood, that it would be a success and they would use it. And it has been. You know, this is one thing that I need to share. You know, I think that this is very important for me to share. In 1965, a major event took place. I was about 10 years old. I was in a primary school in East Africa, Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. And guess what? President Kennedy got shot in the U.S. And, you know, the whole of Tanzania took a collective breath in. And we were told, as children as we were, that the school was shut and we were going to go home because it's a very sad day that the President of the United States was shot by someone. And, you know, so that was how much charisma and power and influence America had in the world at that time. The United States, my perception was very clearly that it was a very fair country. It was a country that had established its moral authority to lead the world, and I think it still has some of that, though I kind of sometimes wonder and have become a little more cynical about it. I think that in terms of the countries of the world that have the capacity to lead the world in a morally upright way, I think the United States certainly fits the bill even today.
Going back to your faith and your religious practices, do you go to mosque regularly?
I go to mosque on a Friday basis regularly, and I try and attend Friday prayers regularly, as far as I know. Other than that, you know, during Ramadan and during special religious events, I'll probably go to mosque, and that's the extent of my religious participation. I think that the Minnesota History Project is a very, very interesting project, and I think it's tremendous for the state of Minnesota to be actually doing the Minnesota History Project and try and capture history not only of the Muslims here, but also of all the other minorities as well as all the other peoples of Minnesota in the fashion that they are. I know that there's a South Asian Indian history project ongoing, and people are pursuing that and trying to capture that for posterity and history so that people know what the first immigrants from South Asia felt like here. So I'm very impressed by the fact that the Minnesota History Society, as well as the Minnesota Legislature, has given such an effort to a tremendous boost. So this is important. This establishes the roots, so to speak.